Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you will, please. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. Find your place in the Word of God. I'll bring the message I believe the Lord would have me to tonight. And I do hope you're already praying about your faith promise commitment tomorrow. And been praying about it. And if I can say it, this may not be the proper way to say it, Brother Sexton, but it's time now to really get serious. I mean, we're coming down to the end of the line. I'm not a sports enthusiast. Most of them are idolaters. If you got 1.5 cents, sports has become idolatry in America. I don't care how many Baptist preachers go that way, it's still idolatry in America. Boy, I got in trouble already to say that, but I say it again. I have no apology to make. No apology to make. It's taken the place of God in many even preachers' lives. But if I could use a sports illustration, I mean, we're right down to the 3-yard line or the 2-yard line. The next move tomorrow will determine win or lose. I'm talking about faith promise. I played basketball. I carry a broken arm, messed up arm to my grave over playing basketball. But I'm telling you, we're right down in the last few seconds. And it's in your end of the court. Amen. So be praying about what to do and be obedient to God. Pray God have His will and way and God's will. Brother Sexton, some of them are still choking over me saying sports is idolatry. I'd like to say something else, but I need to preach. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, if you'd stand with us, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Again, thank the Lord for the good testimonies and the good singing. And thank the Lord for everything. And you pray now God's will be done. I plan to be brief tonight. That don't mean I'm going to be. I remember hearing one man preach years ago. And he said, I'm aware of what time it is. But I promise you, I'll forget it in 5 minutes. Amen. But I want you to really pray. I want to give you a challenge. I want God to give you a challenge from the Word of God this evening. We talk a lot about Hannah. And I don't know if I've ever preached a full message on Hannah. Not doesn't matter. But here I mean. But I want to preach tonight on Hannah's faith promise. And I want you to see faith promise in Hannah. In detail, I've made reference to it probably every year, but I want to preach from the text tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible said that now there was a certain man, and there's a lot of names in verse number 1. Verse 3, the Bible said, and he had 2 wives. And the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as she did so year after year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after she had eaten, after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat of a post by the temple of the Lord. Verse number 10, the Bible said, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my heart, my soul, before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I ask him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah went up, and all of his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. And the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, I'm the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message this evening from God's eternal word. Our precious Heavenly Father, again now, dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow in your presence to pray. Lord, one more time, I want to say thank you. You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me, Lord, by your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You have kept me there all these years. Lord, I gratefully acknowledge tonight all that I am, or ever hope to be. I owe it all to thee. Father, I want to thank you for these great days that you have blessed this church with. And you bless my heart to be here and be a part of it. Thank you, Father, for touching my wife in the manner that I could be here in these services this week. Father, I thank you for the preaching and everything that you have touched and blessed to bless our hearts and change our lives and work in us, dear Lord, to the glory of Christ. Father, I pray now, thank you for the service rendered by this church, Lord, to the missionaries, to the Lord, to the services, in every aspect. Thank you, Father, for the participation that's been in the meeting. Father, I pray now in a very serious way that you will quieten our spirits before God. And Lord, help us tonight, and even after we leave here, between leaving church and sleep time tonight, I pray there'll be some serious business taking place in the hearts and lives of the people. I pray, dear Lord, this evening for an early awakening tomorrow morning. And Lord, I pray again that the people will be serious before God. And Lord, help them to realize, I cannot do it, only you can. But help them to realize the importance, the weight that lies upon the service tomorrow. Not just money for missions, but blessings of God for obedience in days and weeks and months and years to come on the church collectively and on the individual members individually. Lord, help us now. Challenge your people and move by your power. And for what you do, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory, because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening for the message for tonight from the Word of God. Some time ago, I was reading a statement, reading in a book, and I read a statement that still challenges my thinking. I don't want to leave this to get you leading off of mine, but I want to say this to start my point tonight. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. God sees that work of complete sanctification finished when we're saved. But we don't see it. Everything about me didn't die the moment I got saved as far as external is concerned. Now don't die on me, I'm making a point. And so the statement I read was, becoming what I became. Becoming what I became. Walking into what is rightfully mine. Possessing my possession. Am I losing you? I maybe not shouldn't have used that for an introduction. But that's what I want to deal with in that area in giving tonight. I don't know why. I have no idea why. That God put me into the ministry that I'm in. But my ministry, and I don't even like using that phrase, the ministry God's given me has been one to challenge people to go on. To go farther. To go beyond yourself. Can I say it? To challenge people that there is another life. Another level. That the flesh can never accomplish. Matter of fact, I made this statement in one of the messages that I preached. Let me say it again tonight. I thank God often that I'm not me. But Penix, I don't like me. Me is so limited. Me is so lawless. Me is so low down. Somebody said to me, preacher, I don't like you. I said, I don't either. Yeah. Now I got to live with me all the time. Yeah. But in the matter that we're dealing with tonight, one of the biggest problems that anybody that deals in the faith promise missions has to face is getting people to get their eyes off of their ability and get it on God's ability. I started saying last year about this time, and I may have said it here, I'm not sure, but stop telling God what you can't do and let God show you what He can do. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say to that God is bigger than my ability. God's bigger than my adversary. God's bigger than any opposition. And God still can. Whatever it is, God can if we believe God. Years ago, there used to be a black preacher on the radio. And he made this statement, and no doubt in my mind, not just because he's black, forget I even said that. But he had a Pentecostal philosophy in what he's fixing to say. But I'm going to say it, and I'm not charismatic nor Pentecostal. You can doubt and do that. Or you can believe and receive. He can say it real fast. It was this little slogan, doubt and do that, believe and receive. It's going to be shocking to come to the judgment seat of Christ and see how much I didn't have. I'm talking about in the work of God, because I didn't believe it. I spent years believing God could do it for others. But could he do it for me? I spent years believing God would do it for others. But would he do it for me? I think most every Christian in here tonight that's very much of a Christian will admit what I'm fixing to say. I felt so unworthy. I still feel unworthy. That's what makes me love him more. Preacher, if I felt like I deserved it, you know, I'd be full of pride. You know, I'm the world's gift to God. I tell you, I was a nobody going nowhere. I deserved nothing. I had nothing. I was nothing. But God, somehow or another, worked grace in my heart to believe that God could take a boy out of the cotton field, the cornfield, off of that real farm, and put something in my soul and send me across this country and use me beyond myself for the glory of God. Yeah. Let me give this, and I got to get right in the text. Well, I went on the radio. I visited my older sister who was in her 80s. She's been in heaven now for a number of years. I told her what was happening. And now that some of the radio stations that I was going on when I began nearly, 12 and a half years ago, streamed by internet around the world. And preacher, just a country woman, just a country woman. That's what I am, country man. She said, call me by my first name. She said, Stinnett, whoever dreamed that little old boy that used to ride on the coupling pole of that wagon to Sunday school? If you younger fellas and you city dudes don't know what I'm talking about. My daddy had a bus ministry for these buses. But King, I know what it is. Go down there and get the mules out, put the gears on, hook them to the wagon, pull the wagon up from the barn up to the house, and wait for mom and dad to get ready, get in, and we could ride a little piece, and then we picked up our neighbors, and picked up our neighbors, and we kids had to get off and walk the rest of the way. We'd fill the adults up in the wagon, you know, and go to Sunday school. But there, if you know anything about a wagon, there is, you got the front half, you got the back half on the framework, and connecting them a 2x4 that's called a coupling pole. And that thing stuck out on the back, and you could sit back there straddling. And the 2x4, you know, do this number. I had a good ride. You could jump off and run, but we kids would play around. Nobody ever dreamed. Nobody ever dreamed. The last publishing I did of that book of mine on Memoirs of Mercy, Brother Sexton, I found a first grade picture of me in school. 1948. Worn, pinned up overalls, stringy hair. Nobody saw hope. But my sister said, whoever dreamed God would take that little old boy that rode on the coupling pole to Sunday school and preach around the globe. If you think I am standing here tonight, if you think I'm preaching meetings week after week, if you think I'm preaching on radio every day because I deserve it, you ought to sue your brain for non-support. I was not. I am not. But God! But God! But God! But God! But God! God butted into my life!
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
And somehow... somehow give me a taste of grace. Yeah. I got that first taste and it spoiled me. I'd like a kid with a lollipop. You give a kid one lick on the lollipop and it want another lick and another lick. And first thing you know, they want the whole lollipop. God, God, can I use this word? God, by his grace, baited me. That's not wrong. He said, baited me. You know what? Lured me into believing he could do something with me. The average Baptist says, yes, God could use him. God could use her. God could use that family. God could use that young lady. God could use Brother Penix. God can use our brother here. But not me. I want to show you the impossible made possible by the working of God's grace in the life of Hannah. Let me give you one more statement. I'm going to deal with the text, and I will be brief in the message tonight. You can summarize Hannah's life story, preacher, until Samuel is born. You can summarize her story with one statement. Maybe a couple of statements, one little saying. You know what it'd be? I wish I could. But it's beyond me. If you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. All these years, she watched Peninnah have babies and wished she could. I want to say this. Thank God Hannah knew what to do about what she couldn't do anything about. So what do you do? What you can do anything about? You go to him that can. Notice about five or six things real quick. First of all, I want you to notice her pathetic condition. I'm not going into detail, but in verse number 5 and verse number 6, both verses end with the same statement. But the Lord had shut up her womb. If you want to make notes of an outline, I put down, first of all, she was barren. It's not a shame, I'm talking spiritually now, it's not a shame to be barren, but it is a shame to stay barren. It's not a shame to be a person who's not doing anything for God, but it's a shame to stay that way. It's not a shame to say, I don't have anything to give, but it's a shame to stay that way. Yes. She's not only barren, she's broken. She weeps over the condition of her inability. Number 3, she's bewildered. Look at verse number 8 at the statement that's given. There's three questions asked. Then said Elkanah, her husband, unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? President George Bush Sr., a lot of you folks were not old enough to remember his days of presidency. But he had a saying that really I picked up on a lot of people. Did you hear it a lot more now than you did then? But he's one of the, it's an old saying, but Brother Harvey, he's one of the first ones that made it in the public a lot. And it was a statement, accepting status quo. Accepting, don't accept status quo. Don't accept things like they are. As long as you passively say, well, that's the way it is. Well, nothing I can do about it. It'll stay that way. But if God will create a hunger and a thirst in your heart. This is a missing message if you've ever heard one in the Baptist church. But if God will create a hunger in your heart, then you get willing to shed tears. You don't have to get willing to. They just flow automatically. You get to the place you can miss some meals. And you get to the place your heart is grieved because of status quo. You will never be blessed till you're broken. You'll never be blessed till you become bewildered with the situation of status quo. Her pathetic condition, number 2 in verse number 10 and 11, you have her prayer for a child. Again, I emphasize, thank God she knew what to do about what she couldn't do anything about. She went to him that could. And I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to give it out so I can move on for time's sake. Brother Sexton, when I look at her prayer, first of all, it was sincere. She poured out her soul, bitterness of soul. Can I say this? Oh, listen to this, preacher. There's a world of difference in playing, praying, and praying, praying. Now, I know the word may not be wrong, preacher, but I don't like to hear somebody say, would you say a prayer for me? I don't like saying prayers. You can say a prayer in your mind, be 100 miles away. I like praying prayers that you get in and it gets in you. But her prayer was sincere. And then number two, her prayer was specific. Listen to me quickly. Don't pray in general about your faith promise tomorrow. God's not going to say to you, well, just raise it a couple of dollars. You ought to raise it. God will be specific. You get specific in praying, and God will get specific in answering and give you a figure that you'll know exactly what God wants you to do. Yep. Number three, not only sincere, it's specific, but her prayer was supernatural. Only God could do what she's praying about. Give me a man child. It's already proven medical fact. She can't have children. But I'm glad the great physician. You know, earthly doctors are only practicing physicians. Our God's a performing physician. He don't run into any bears. He's never lost a case. He can fix what he wants to fix, when he wants to fix it, when he wants to fix it. Dare get beyond yourself. Lord, I want to do something where I'll know and others will know it's got to be God. Listen to me, I can't say this strong enough. I am so thrilled that I learned that God enjoys doing things for us when we cannot take the glory for it. I have no problem. I like that. Don't think at all I'm attacking. I like that. I have no problem with it. But you know why that number's back there like it is? Under the leadership of this man of God, and you as a church have followed him year after year to the glory of God. Brother Sexton, and rightly you've commended your church on it. Look what God's let us do. But if we ever come to the place, boy, Brother Blue, come up here and I want you to look how much money he raised. Or, boy, I told our people and I taught them again, look how much money we give. And church, you start robbing God of that glory, that figure will start going down the other way. But God loves it when he does something that God gets the glory. And so her prayer was sincere. Her prayer was specific. Her prayer was supernatural. So you see her pathetic condition. You see her prayer for a child. Number three, in verse number 11, you see her promise of commitment. In verse number 11, she said, she bowed and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him to you unto the Lord all the days of his life. Look at me just a moment. Here it is, just so simple. Don't need me spending a lot of time. Her prayer was, God, if you will, I will. I don't mean to be discouraging to you, but not many Baptists are willing to put a commitment on the prayers that they pray. It's gimme, 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 but leave me alone. It's I want you, God, committed to me, but don't expect me to make a commitment to you. She said, God, if you will, I will. Can I use this Tennessee language? You understand? God took her up on it. God took her up on it. You say, what's the story? Let me give you this and I'll come and finish the story. I like to say this. Can I please give me liberty to say it this way? God never forgets anything, so God never has to be reminded. All right? But we use that expression. We're familiar with it. It's like this thing kind of just slides by a little while. Samuel is born, and she gives him to God. But one day, Brother Sexton, I wish I knew how better how to say this, but it's like God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost sitting up there in heaven talking, and this story come up about Hannah. And one of them said to the other, said, I want you to look at this story. She come to us and said, God, if you will, I will. That's her move, the commitment. And we gave her a man's child. And she gave him back to us. And I'm adding this part in. God said, just look like it's our move again. God will never be any man's debtor. Would you remember this old preacher making this statement on my 73rd birthday? God makes the first move of any grace in your life, and God will make the last one. You won't die waiting on God to give you. I'm convinced, preacher, if you, as long as you're at your mind, right mind, there'll be something left to do. You'll leave something unfinished. There'll be some job you started. Something with God just, God's not going to let you run out of something to do. So God said, we, and I really believe God made the initiative there. I believe God put it on her heart to say this, give him a boy. And then she made the commitment. God gave it. She gave it back. And it's like God said, we can't let her outdo us. I'll deal with the rest of the story in a moment. Number three. Number four. There's not only her pathetic condition. There's her prayer for a child. There's her promised commitment. But down in verse number 17, 18 and 19. I'm still trying to work out the wording I want to use on this. But here is the procedure of the child coming. There are two things on this. I want you to see it. Number one, in verse number 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Now, let me say a couple of things. Look at me just a moment. I'm titling this part of the outline, just 2 points here. But first of all, there's a promise initiated. But you know what the amazing thing about this promise is? Eli, Brother Allen, didn't even know what she's praying for. Her mouth, her lips are moving, but her voice is not heard. But as the priest over the house of God, he had the authority to announce her prayer answered. Can I tell you there is another priest over the house of God today? Amen. Amen. And you know what he's already said to us? And whatsoever ye ask. So I came and said, I don't know what your answer, but you can have that if you're that sincere about it. And she don't say, are you sure? Can I really trust you? Brother Sexton, she grabs that promise and, can I say it, runs home with it. How many times does God have to say it for us to believe it? I would not be disrespectful and vulgar in private, much less in the pulpit, but if you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, that you're old enough, it should not bother you. There's not only a promise initiated, but there is a personal involvement. Now watch me, preacher, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm aware of the fact there's a mixed multitude. I'm not being disrespectful. But there's not but one way for babies to get here. You say, what are you saying, preacher? She didn't go home and go to one bedroom and him another and say, God's going to give us a baby. My point is, she went home and he went home and they done what they could to produce a baby. I'm telling you, God's not going to supply faith promise without some personal involvement. You can't write it down, preach on the card tomorrow morning, and wait, the ravens won't fly in somebody's faith promise every week. You'll not get an envelope in the mail marked faith promise. But you found out what God wants you to do, and I don't know how you might get involved, but whatever God wants you to give, you involve yourself in God using you, answering that, and God will bring it in. Pathetic condition, prayer for a child, promise commitment. There's the promise of the child given there in verse 17. Then there, the child is born, verse number 20. I'm jumping this. But there's the presentation of the child. Now watch me just a moment. I think most of you would take seriously what you're doing, but I want to just caution you this. It could be pretty easy to give away babies when you can't have them. I realize that's a big step. You understand what I'm saying? Ladies, if you thought you could never have a baby, it'd be pretty easy. Well, God, if you'd give me a baby, I'd give him to you.
Amen.
Are you following what I'm saying? But now, Hannah, it's not a promise. It's a person. What? Baby. What are you going to do, Hannah? You put on that faith promise card, God, if you will, I will, and God does, what are you going to do with it? I warn you, don't go to Walmart with it. That's no swing on Walmart. Don't spend it on yourself. You make that commitment to God, keep your end of the deal.
Amen.
So let's see what Hannah does. I want you to notice two things. In verse number 21 through verse 24, you've got what I'm calling, verse 21 through 23, you've got her plan. I want you to look at me just a moment. You know the story, and I want you to look at me. I'm not going to read all those verses. For 9 months, this baby's been in her womb. For 9 months, she has thought about, you know, I've got to give this baby to God. How will I do it? What's my plan? Somewhere in this period of time, she comes up with this plan. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay home and take care of this baby and nurture him, feed him until I wean him. And then when I do, I'm going to take him up there and give him to God and leave him. Everybody with me on that?
Yes,
sir. Somewhere or another, Brother Justin, Brother Jordan, she developed that plan. I really think this probably figured into it. She didn't want to get used to bringing him home. You ever miss one commitment to God, it'll be easy to miss it again and again and again. If she had brought him home 1 year, it'd been easy to bring him one more year. Well, I'll keep him one more year. So it comes time to go back up to the temple, and her husband and her have a conversation. What's she going to do? She said, here's my plan. I'm going to stay here and keep this baby till I wean him, and then I'm going to take him up there and leave him. I want to read verse number 22. I don't really like this, but I'm going to deal with it anyway because it's true. It's in the Bible. Look at verse number 22. Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now look at me just a moment. I'm going to try to get through this and not get in trouble. It might do some of us men good to learn to trust our wives with God. What a shocking statement I just learned some time ago. They would have never been a Samuel if it had been left up to the husband. Wow. Well, ain't we having a good time now?
Good.
How many churches in the hard times of our past have been kept going by women that would just go ahead and give, pray, get a hold of God? How many radio preachers? We're not kept on the air by millionaire men. You know what my thinking Elkanah said? Woman, I didn't start this. This is between you and God. If it pleases God, if you're the way you win that baby, just you make sure God's satisfied. Don't get his judgment on us. I didn't mean to be mean, preacher, but some of them are choking on that. Some of you men won't even let your wife fill out a faith promise card because you're afraid of what she might put on it. I learned one day my wife couldn't go to heaven on my faith, so she wasn't giving the missions no more on my faith.
Wow. That's good,
brother. I'm just being honest with you. Let it be her own baby. I need to tell it. Now, I ain't going to take time to tell the story, though I could tell you a story. But I'm simply saying to you, God worked in her heart. She moved in obedient response. And the husband was smart enough to say, I'm not going to mess up what God's doing. Now, remember this. They didn't have Gerbers back then. They didn't breastfeed them or bottle feed them, you know, for 6 months and put them on Gerbers and all that stuff. You know, I don't know. It's been too long since we raised kids for me to tell you something like that, but you know what I'm talking about. And, you know, a year, you got them eating regular food. No, the mama usually had to pre-chew the food. Or they ate vegetables that could be mashed up, you know, till the baby could gum it. But if you study Jewish history, and they tell us that most of the weaning time would either be like age 4 or 5 years old. So I don't know how long this was. I do know the Bible said down in verse number 24, the child was young. We don't say she brought the baby, she brought the child. And the child was young. But the time's come. And here they come. Now, I don't know if the news got out or not. Probably didn't, but I'm going to. Can you imagine words out, Brother Sexton? Hannah's going to come next Sunday and bring that baby and give him to God. I promise you nobody's late for Sunday school that morning. I know they didn't have Sunday school. Now, don't come up and argue me at church. But whether anybody knew or not, Hannah knew what was going on. Elkanah knows what's going on. And throw me my top coat to our preacher. And she comes in. You young folk, I'm sorry, y'all just got born too late. They didn't have little baby seats to carry them in them days. We carried ours in her arm. She comes in carrying that little baby. And I don't know what the oohs and ahs and the, you know, the lady, I don't know how much interruption, I don't know. But her purpose was not to show him off to people. Her purpose was to get him to God. Amen. And she comes up there, and I'm going to say this in our country language. I think you can see what I'm saying. She comes up to Eli, and let me use it. She comes up to Eli and said, do you remember me? And he said, I don't believe I do, ma'am. She said, do you remember sitting over there on that post by that, on that stool by that post, and a woman over at the altar praying, and you thought she was drunk? Yeah, I remember that. She thrust that baby out to him, said, for this child I prayed, and God's giving to me, and I'm giving to God. She didn't throw him, but I'm giving him to God. And you know what happened? Backslid Eli had a shouting spell. Said he worshipped. I don't believe that Samuel worshipped. I don't believe he was Hannah. I believe it was Eli. And I don't tell you that still works today. I promise you, you find out what God wants you to do, make it a step of faith, a commitment of faith, and you come in here on Sunday morning as God provides it, and you walk up to your preacher, and you say, preacher, you remember that faith promise I made down there? Yeah, I got it. Here it is, and you give it to the man of God, and your backslid preacher will shout.
Yeah. Amen.
Too good for me to pass up, preacher. I am convinced if we really obey God, faith, promise, giving, I'm talking about the bringing it in now, preacher, could interrupt some of our regular Sunday morning programmings.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I'm saying, preacher, let me tell you what God went and done. Let me tell you how God done. Let me tell you what I'm saying to you, that when she obeyed God, it brought revival to others. Now, you thought I was through because I was through chapter 1, but there's another chapter. Look at chapter number 2 for just 2 thoughts. Now, we'll be through. Wow. I shouldn't even draw your attention to watch, but it is getting late. I want you to notice we saw her pathetic condition, her prayer for a child, her promise of commitment, her prayer commitment. And then we see the promise of the child, the presentation of the child. But I want you to look at verse number 20, verse number 18 of chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. I want you to notice the pattern continues. I want to say this, and I'm not being mean at nobody. But if you ever get involved in faith promise and God works that in your heart, 1 year won't be enough.
Amen.
Look at verse number 18. And Samuel ministered for the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him year after year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice.
Amen.
Now, there are two things I want you to notice here. Watch me just a moment. Hannah never gave Samuel a second time. The initial gift she gave him to the Lord as long as he lives. Come on, are you with me? But can you imagine for a year now? What am I going to do now? She had such a time out of giving Samuel. What can I do now? And she sets this pattern, continues here. She sets into operation a yearly gift. Every year she comes, she brings another gift. You know, when you really get faith promise worked in your life and the grace of giving worked in your life, you don't want it to end. You'll even kind of look for it, see what God's going to do next year. I need some help. What can I do? And you know what God put in her heart? Give me my coat. You know what God put in her heart? Just make him a coat. But I want to say it another way. Brother Chad, stand up just a minute if you will, please. Turn around. Just wrap up last year's gift. You know what that means? Not only an annual gift, but an annual growth. Last year's coat wouldn't fit this year's child. I'm having a good time if nobody else is. My wife and I have a daughter, a son, another daughter. I was looking at your grandson, your little bitty short grandson, about 7 foot tall. I was looking at him. Sister, it's your boy in there. I always get these grandkids mixed up who belongs to who, Brother Chad. Forgive me. But anyway, I was looking at that boy. And when my boy was about 11 or 12 years old, 13, 14 years old, we'd go, Brother Sexton, and we'd buy some blue jeans. And I mean, we'd buy them dragging the floor. Then sometimes even we had to roll up a cuff. And it wouldn't be 6 months, 3 months down the road and they started doing this number. I'm not being videoed, am I? But I said, Mama, them britches is drawing up. She said, No, Daddy, the boy's growing up. And Brother Allen, we never went back and bought the same size. We measured what he needed now, gave what he could wear a year ago away if they weren't worn out the last time, and we got him something to fit him now. Do you know why we have a mission conference every year? To check the growth of your faith. Last year, some of you put on a faith promise. It's about bigger than you thought you could handle. But through the year you've given it, and God did provide. If God lets you down, I understand you're not giving more, but if God didn't let you down, I didn't say if you didn't let God down, I said if God lets you down. What I'm trying to get you to do tonight is go home and measure your faith. Compare it to last year's faith promise. If last year's faith promise still fits your faith, stay in that same size. But if somehow your faith has grown, last and I'm through. Her pathetic condition, her prayer for a child, her promise commitment, the promise of a child, the presentation of a child, the pay continues, the pattern continues, what I got down. But in verse number 20 and 21, I want you to notice this bottom line. I'm through. Her paycheck. What did Hannah get out of this? You see, if you're a carnal tonight, you can leave here mad at me, gritting your teeth, clenching your fists, stomping your feet. Money, money, money. Did you see him? He just set us up to make us feel bad if we didn't give more. Oh, you got the message. Wonderful. Yeah. But when me sets up, it's God. What's in it for me? I'm going to come back and finish the story started a while ago. You remember, in the book of Esther, King Artaxerxes had a bad case. Is that big word insomnia? He couldn't sleep. Is that what it is, insomnia? And he tried everything he could think of, and finally, Brother Jordan, he got the minutes of last month's business meeting. The Chronicles of Israel. That's the business meetings of the... And he started reading. Can you imagine? Man, you got to have a bad case of can't sleep. And he's reading down through there. And he come across some unfinished business. Here's a man that spared the king's life, and we haven't done anything for him. Now, I know God's not human, but can you imagine God sitting up there reading the minutes of last year's faith promise giving? And God having to say, he don't do this now, but I'm using, God said, wait a minute. That mama made a commitment and done her part. It's time for us to move. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
What are you going to do, God? Two things. Just keep looking at me. First of all, there's a household interest. All of a sudden, preacher, God gets interested in what's going on at Elkanah and Hannah's house. I want to tell you something. I appreciate friends. I appreciate this church. I feel like I'm among friends. I know I'm among friends. Every once in a while, Brother Sexton, and I pray for the church 3 times a week on a regular basis by name. I pray for all my supporting churches collectively the other days of the week, but I pray by Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday by name. I call your name and the church name, all supporting churches. I feel like you pray for me. If you don't, please don't tell me. Every once in a while, I know it would be torture to you, but I hope Stinnett Blue comes through your mind every once in a while. That's good. I'll tell you what excites me. I want to keep God's interest on the blue house. Don't take this wrong. You may not ever call me, but boy, I don't want God to forget to call me. God said, hey, let's look at what's going on down at Elkanah's house. We put it in her heart to give a man a child. She made the commitment. We gave the child. And then she gave it back to us. It's our move. And God said, we got to do something for the Hannah family. Every once in a while, I want God to say, hey, we owe the Blue family some attention. See, I don't believe that. Well, doubt and do it out. I believe it. There's not only the heavenly interest, there's a household increase. Have you heard? Hannah's expecting. Did you hear about it? Hannah's got another boy. Wonder if she'll give him. Have you heard? Hannah's expecting. Did you hear about it? Hannah's got a third boy. Did you hear about it? Hannah's expecting. Hannah's got four boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's a quartet. Have you heard?
Amen.
Hannah's
Amen.
Expecting again.
Yes.
Cheer about it. Hannah's got it. Oh, that's what they've been after that little girl there. Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
Watch me, I'm through. Please forgive me. I know I preach long. So Some of these things just excite me. I like to drag them out. She went from no children to 6 children. Because she made a faith promise commitment and carried it out. And God took the position He always takes. I'm not going to let her outdo me. If you don't know this, I want to be sure and tell you before you leave tonight. Nobody's going to come to the judgment seat of Christ with a bill and say, God, you owe me one. God, did you forget I gave you? It won't happen. It won't happen. But Sexton, being my age now, I got to looking further than I've gone. Farther than the Bible really goes, but it's still true. If the 6 children, after a while they're going to be some grandchildren. Here's my point. I'm through. What she did in this simple commitment and carrying it out, maybe I shouldn't say simple, changed her life for the rest of her life. She'd say, Sharon, she never had to sit over there and say, boy, I wish I had some youngins around here. Boy, I wish I had a baby. She didn't have to watch the preacher and his grandkids and say, I wish I had some grandkids. And by the way, if you're here in the situation Hannah's in, can't have children, I don't want to be hurtful to you. Please forgive me if it's being hurtful to you. I'm just simply saying to you, what you do tomorrow in your faith promise commitment can affect you and your family the rest of your life. Amen. I don't know, and you don't know, and I don't mean that derogatory. I still tell about it. I won't ever forget it as long as I keep my right mind. Phone rung one day. Brother Baloo. Yes. This is Pastor Wayne Sexton up here in the hills of Tennessee. Yeah. And I believe you used the word little church. I don't mean derogatory if you didn't, but we got a little old church up here in the hills. And we not doing nothing much for missions. Not exactly how you word it, but something like that. And I've been told you're the man to come and help us get started. I never will hear what you told me. You said, I'll tell you how we are. We got some people in our church. If you can show it to us in the Bible, we'll do it. You may not remember that, but that's as vivid in my mind as anything I have in my memory. And I came. We worked out a date, and I came. Please leave me out of the picture. 11 years. Yes, some battles, some problems, some heartaches. Maybe some failures and some things you've tried. But you sit here today, the church, in unity, in harmony, in fellowship. Can I use another word? Blessed of God.
Yes. Amen.
Now I believe, preacher, please leave me out of it. But I believe right over there on the wall, God's looked down and said, that church has got missions, which is the heart of God, on their heart. They're putting what I have first. And I believe God has knocked a few devils out of the way and kept a few people from coming in. And God settled some issues for them. I'm saying that God honors a church that will honor Him, and you honor Him by doing what God said about missions. Hannah didn't care what nobody else said. She had 6 babies.
Amen.
Pray. Pray seriously, Pastor. Come on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Let's stand together, heads bowed. Sister, come on up in and give us a little bit of music while he's collecting thoughts on what to do. I don't like just drop it in your lap immediately, preacher. I've tried to be obedient to God. If I could say one final word to you, I'd warn you again, don't play games with God about your faith promise. You get serious with God, and God will get serious with you. You can move beyond your ability, beyond your power, beyond yourself. When you learn to live and give by faith. Anybody need to come? The altar's open, Father.